G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, April 21. I'm John Barker, joining me as usual, Joel Marshall. Well, Joel, plenty of action this weekend. We've got black type in five cities around the country, all the mainland capitals. Sydney is still the main focus. We've got the last two group ones of the Sydney Autumn. That's the Champagne Stakes and the All-Aged Stakes. And the enigmatic trapeze artist would probably stake some sort of claim to be Sprinter of the Year if he could add this to the TJ and the Golden Rose.
Yeah, he's going to be a pretty warm favourite too. I think around $2.20 I see this morning. So he's going to be certainly the medium of plenty of support there on Saturday. As you said, a good weekend of racing with black type around the country. Got a good Vobis Gold meeting at Caulfield with a couple of stakes races wedged in between. It's come up a reasonably strong meeting there, and obviously as we build towards the group ones in Adelaide and Brisbane, some good support or good warm-up programs on Saturday.
And not to mention the WA Derby, where Grant and Alana Williams look to have a fair sort of stranglehold, although there's a couple of the main chances that they're not trained.
Yeah, they won the Oaks last week, I think, with one of the third, fourth stringers, paid a decent price. So I think they've got a few of their fillies backing up from last week.
We will start, however, at Randwick, and we'll take you right through the black type, which starts in race three. It's the TAB Hallmark Stakes, group three over 1,200. One of your old favourites, Joel, in Takedown, hasn't recaptured his best ever since that breakthrough group one win in the Winterbottom. Went overseas, did okay there, but hasn't done much on return to Australia. Can he come good here?
Well, look, as you said, he's been battling. He's run in the Group 2 Challenge, chasing Red Zell, and a pair of Group 1 races. So if he's going to improve, it'll be on Saturday from a good barrier, should get dry ground and dropping in class. So I haven't got him on top, but I've got him in for third. I've gone with 3 Burning Passion. I think he looks ready. He had a bit of a break between runs, 4 weeks between his first and second up run. He just got caught in behind them. It was a moderate tempo, just wasn't able to get build full momentum, and I think with that run under the belt, he'll go well. He's got a good record at Randwick. From number 2, Dothraki, you know what you'll get from him. He'll run really well. He spent a bit of time without winning, but he was able to win the Morris McCartan 2 runs back, and then he was good again last time. So he'll run well. 1 Takedown, as mentioned. He can improve dropping in class. And 7 First Hands. Had a couple of jump outs at Flemington. Looks to be going okay.
Race 4 at Royal Randwick on Saturday is the IGA Liquor Frank Packer Plate, 2,000 metres for 3-year-olds, Group 3 level weights. They're all males. Well, this race in the past has thrown up a few future star stayers, Joel. Things might have changed now with the reorganisation of the Sydney Autumn. Not sure I can see any future superstars here. What do you think?
Might and Power was one of them, wasn't he?
He was.
He did that. Yeah, Primitivo I've gone for here. He didn't go to the Derby, but he faced a bit of a difficult task stepping up from 1,400 to 2,000 metres in the Tulloch, and it just wasn't helped by the run he got in transit. He was 3 wide throughout. He never stopped trying up the straight. He's finished midfield. I thought he held his ground pretty well. You know he's going to be fitter for that, and just hopefully he can get back and get a bit of cover as he had been racing prior to that, and I think he'll run the 2,000 metres out okay. 1 Tangled comes through the Derby. Excellent runs in the Rosehill Guineas and the Derby, so he's got to be the testing material. 6 Temprado is a horse I've liked for quite some time. His debut was eye-catching, and he's just taken a little while, but now that he's getting over ground, he's starting to put it all together. I certainly respect him. And 3 Holy Snow was good in the Carbine Club, but got to get 2,000 metres. That's probably the one query with him.
Early quaddy finishes at Randwick with race 5, the Hong Kong Jockey Club JHB Car Stakes, 1,400 metres. 3-year-old fillies, set weights and penalties, group 3.
Going with number 2, Banish. She hasn't had much go right this prep. She's going to need a good ride from Hugh Bowman from that gate. She's a talented filly. She got locked away in behind them in the Vanity at Flemington first up and wasn't ever fully tested. And then the PJ Bell was just a non-event. She got back, held up at the top of the straight, and Ty England didn't really knock her around. I think if she gets a bit of luck, she can improve sharply to beat her stablemate number 5, Manicure. She drew wide in the PJ Bell, slid forward sort of midfield, and then ended up getting a bit closer and thought she was toughed it out really well there behind Hootson. Of course, we saw Catchy come out of that race and win the Arrowfield sprint last week. 4 So Far So Cool, dominant in the Bendigo Guineas against the boys. Certainly deserves a crack at a race like this. And 6 Moss Trip, off a bit of a freshen. She handled herself pretty well in the surround. Of course, that's good Group 1 form. We saw Elise come out of that race and win a Group 1 last week.
First of the Group 1s and first leg of the quaddy at Randwick on Saturday is Race 6, the Moe and Chandon Champagne Stakes. 1,600 metres at set weights for the two-year-olds.
Three outrageous for me. I thought his was the run of the race and the size produce. There at Randwick a fortnight ago, he had no luck in the VRC size. He drew 13 of 13. It was the day of that mad inside bias and he just never got into the race. But at Randwick the other day, he was held up for most of the straight. Once he got clear, he hit the line well for third. Drawn ideally, should get a lovely run. I think $7 or $8 is a good bet each way for him. To beat 13 Seabrook, who I was very keen on in the size off her slipper run, she just looked a little bit plain there over on the inside. Mick Price sort of went into bat for her this week and said she didn't jump all that keenly and was a bit distracted by other goings on. A good sign that they're going to press on to the mile because she's a talented filly and you wouldn't be risking her if she wasn't right. So I've got to give her another chance. Five, not a single cent, didn't have a lot of luck in the size. And got to include the 12 Eldorado Dreaming. If she can back that performance up, she's got to be a chance. That was a shock result, but she looked good doing it.
Now, when you talk about Outrageous being ideally drawn, I've written in Winning Post and Best Bets this week about this day being very much one for the horses that are drawn wide, in particular the Champagne and the All Aged. They've generally come from 6, 7 and 8, gate 6, 7 and 8 in small fields. And in fact, the quaddy races on this day, the last 4 years, nothing has jumped from inside barrier 5 and the average winner has started from the barrier 2 from the outside. Now, the caveat that I would put on that and the excuse that I'm going to give when it doesn't work on Saturday is that they've mainly been wet, you know, it just hasn't been wet this year, whereas it's been wet tracks in the lead-up and possibly the only good ground has been the outside in the past. But we'll see how it pans out on Saturday. Second of the Group 1, second leg of the quaddy, Schweppes All Age Stakes, 1,400 metres. And here, Joel, your selection is drawn the outside gate.
Yes, I'm hoping it works for this race. One, Lira Main. He is going really well this time in. He's had the two Group 1 runs back from a break. Of course, he was just touched off in this race last year by Tavachi. He's a three-time Group 1 winner. Thought he was good in the Galaxy with the 58. And then the TJ Smith, he was wide. He was on the back of Trapeze Artist, who did leave him left him behind at the top of the straight. But I thought he stuck on well. He'll be fitter. He probably would be advantaged if they got rain, which they're probably not going to get. But he's pretty adept at any conditions, Lira Main. And I think he's, you know, genuine Group 1 horse, $8 or $9 each way. I think he'll run really well. Certainly 10 Trapeze Artist looks the one to beat if he backs up that TJ Smith win, and probably, you know, no real reason to think that he won't. 11 Showtime, I think, can run well. He was good in the Arrowfield last week, sat behind the speed and battled away well. And 8 Tom Melbourne, he'll run well, probably won't win, but he'll certainly be competitive.
Last of the black type races at the Sydney Carnival is Race 8 at Randwick on Saturday. Sharp, Japan Racing Association Plate, 2,000 metre Group 3.
Going number 14, Rising Red here. Just hoping this is a bit of a target race for him. He's had the two runs back from a very lengthy spell. Of course, we saw him run super in the New Zealand Derby 12 months ago, splitting Ginger Nuts and forget the other horse. It escapes my memory, but genuine Group 1 horses, horses that won Group 1 races over here. And he ran really well. As I said, he had a long time off. I thought his first up run was
John Snow, was it?
That was it, John Snow, yeah. Of course, he won the AJC Derby and Ginger Nuts on the Rose Hill Guinea. So the form held up. We didn't get to see Rising Red again for 12 months, but his first up run, he did enough, I thought, at Flemington off a muddling tempo, sat wide and did enough at 1400. And then the Golden Mile last start, he ran well, settled behind the pace and toughed it out nicely. Out to 2000 as a plus, and think on the minimum at around 20 to 1, he's worth a play. To beat 6 Interlocutor, looks ready for the rising distance now. Thought the first up run was good. Didn't have a lot of room in the Doncaster Prelude. And I think, yeah, as I said, does look suited to 2,000. One beats him, one over this distance, two back, and then did a great job in the Doncaster. You've got to respect him. And 9 in for fourth, Radipole. I think he's racing like he wants a little bit further.
All right, that's the end of the black type at the Sydney Carnival this year. But while we're hot, Joel, we may as well just, you may as well let us know what we need to include in the last leg of the quaddy, Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs Handicap. Don't know if there will be a complimentary eating competition there at Randwick on Saturday. Certainly hope so. Osborne Bulls is going to be fairly warmly favoured, but you'd need to be putting in a couple more?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he certainly will be really warmly favoured. He's a promising horse, and yeah, he's going to go in the quaddy for sure. But I've gone with number 9, Harper's Choice, first up. I liked his trial. He's a horse that's been placed against pretty strong company in his career. He resumed in the Missile last spring. He ran fourth to Invincible Gem. Then he chased home Winks in the Warwick and the Chelmsford Stakes, and he was just probably out of his depth a little bit. I just think he resumes in a nice race, and off the back of that good trial, happy to back him each way from 11, Special Missile. Nice run second up. He missed the start and hit the line well. Number 7, Osborne Bulls, in for third. And number 4, Savopinski. Talented mare. She'll certainly strip fit her with the run, but she's trialled well enough. They're probably the only 4 I'll include in my quaddy.
Okay, well, that wraps up round with Joel's Best Race 6, number 3, Outrageous in the Champagne. And the value bet coming off at 9 and 0 is race 5, number 2, Banish. As Joel mentioned, rich program at Caulfield on Saturday, Owners and Breeders Day. All the Vobis bonuses up for grabs, and big prizes. Many races here around the $250,000-$300,000 mark. Only going to get richer in future years this day. And healthy fields throughout the day. Well, I think there's a few weight standouts here, Joel, given that so many of these races are at set weights and penalties. You line them up with their ratings and you get horses that are pitched in.
Yeah, you get that in these meetings, don't you? We were talking about it earlier in the office. I think Burning Front's gone around a couple of times at this meeting and just always looks at a certainty. I think the Quarterback, that was the horse I was trying to think of earlier this morning. I remember him going around in one of these Vobis races at a short quote and just looking immoral, ended up getting rolled. But yeah, I guess the ones you speak of, Cliff's Edge on Saturday, he's going to be very, very hard to beat. And then you've got Nature Strip, although that's not a bad race, that 3-year-old race.
Yeah, I'm not thinking so much of Nature Strip. Certainly Cliff's Edge. I'm also thinking French Emotion.
Yep.
Kawaya and probably Ouija Turf are the ones that I like.
And Rich Charm and Keena Ray probably really suited in that race 8. They probably sort of, you know, gap the field in terms of their ratings, so they're going to be pretty well found as well. A couple of black type races, though, that make for...
That's right, so get sort stuck of into that. Race 7 is the Bellis Breeze Stakes 1100 listed event.
Yeah, Secret Agenda, I believe, has already come out and will go to Adelaide. Not sure about Whispering Brook. I think they're looking at Adelaide, and I haven't seen a jockey for her at Caulfield yet, so... In any case, I'm with 3 bonds away, giving him another chance. I've had a little bet on him both runs this prep. They've really thrown him in the deep end. I thought he ran really well in the Oakley Plate. He ran, you know, probably to his price, $15, loomed up and just sort of peaked late, but he was beaten only a half a length by Russian Revolution. Then the William Reed, he was really keen in the run and just didn't leave himself with any gas to finish off. I like him back to 1100, good gait, and back to a listed race as well. It is a competitive listed race, but it is a drop in class on what he's been racing against. So I like Bonds Away to beat 2 Santa Ana Lane with Group 1 form, 12 property, 3-year-old. We haven't seen him for a little while, but he is a talent. And 11 and 10, probably next best, Sprightly Lass, Hussein Eagle. But yeah, Bonds Away each way for me.
Yeah, well, I'm with Sprightly Lass. In fact, I made it my value bit, but I now see that, in fact, if Secret Agenda's out, she's going to be equal favourite with property, who is my second selection. So 11 to beat 12. 10, Hussein Eagle for third, and Joel's pick number 3, Bonds Away for fourth. The other listed race at Caulfield on Saturday, Troa Anniversary Vase, 1,400-metre listed race.
13, Land of Plenty here. I think he just strikes the right sort of race. We see these horses go to the Darren Weir stable, and they can often string the wins together. His first up run for the stable was good at Moonee Valley, then went to Bendigo. It was a pretty winnable race. He had 12 rivals, but really there are only 2 or 3 legitimate dangers to him, but he put them away. Strong win. See him getting a similar sort of run, maybe a little bit deep with cover, but if he gets any sort of luck, I think he'll be too good. He's already been well found. I think 450 might have been an early market into around 360, so I think he's the way to go in the last. From 7, The Answer, My Friend, Logical Danger. He just went too hard last start in front. It was a race set up for the swoopers. He's much better than that. I believe they're going to try and ride him quieter on Saturday, so that will be interesting because he is a sort of a natural front runner. 4, Rhythm to Spare. He's much better when he gets to a mile. I understand that, but I think we can include him in trifectas. Yeah, I see him getting a good soft run from that gate. And two Calderon, interesting runner. Returns a gelding. He got badly checked in the Caulfield Stakes and then missed out on Cox Plate Day, but he's much better than that.
Well, I've gone for Fastnet Tempest here, number six, prepared to forgive the first two runs. If he's going to do anything this time in, it's going to be now with the big drop in class. Three, Amavatio for second. Seven, The Answer, My Friend, and 10, Schism. So clearly I have missed the memo on Land of Plenty. My value bet, as I said, was race 7, number 11, Sprite of the Lass, and my best was race 4, number 3, Kawaya. You, John?
Yeah, my best, well, I've gone Land of Plenty in the last. My value is Bonds Away, and the other two I'll be having a little bet on. I'm going to be backing Deprive to beat Nature Strip. I think he can give that a real run for the money in race 5, and I might have a little something on the first starter in the 2-year-old race, number 17, Realigned, trialled okay.
Okay, well, as you mentioned, warming up in Adelaide, three black type races, starting with race 5, Redelva Stakes, listed event for 3-year-olds over 1,100. Richo here likes number 2, Holy Blade, complete a hat-trick from 4, Port Vale, 3, Dispatch, and 7, Fancy Rumble. Are you playing here, Joel?
This particular race, I will have a something each way on Vahana, number 9. I liked her effort at Morfettville last start. She was attacked in the lead. The horse that attacked her dropped out and ran last. She was run down late by Fancy Rumble. This is obviously a little bit tougher, but stable going well, and she's a filly of some promise.
Race 6 is the Hughes Limousines R.N. Irwin Stakes. This is a Group 3 over 1,100 and sees the reappearance of the very classy Vidora, number 7, which is Richo's pick. In fact, is the unanimous pick of the Winning Post panel. Richo's gone for 6, Secret Agenda for 2nd, who will be over here. 8, Snitty Kitty, over there, I should say. And 1, Flambeau. So, yeah, not a bad little sprint, that. You like anything in that one, Joel?
Probably just watch for me. Yeah, it's a good race. Snitty Kitty and Secret Agenda are sort of favourites of mine. And then you got Vidora and those two down the bottom. Dainty Test from Perth. The Perth sprinters usually always measure up, and it's been a battle. We'll probably be underrated again. So, good race, but I'll probably just be watching.
The Auraria, as we know it, now known as the Schwepp Evescence, first leg of the Phillies Triple Crown over there. Not that that really sort of exists, because the good ones from the Australasian Oaks no longer go on to the 2,500 metre race. But this one's 1,800. Set weights and penalties at Group 3 level for the 3-year-old Phillies. And Richo likes the Godolphin filly here, Har Matten, number 6, to beat 16 Suppressor, 3 Blue Morpho, and 5 Pandemonium. Like anything there?
I might have something on Glam Guru from A Better Gate. She drew 16 in the Lelia, worked too hard, and I'm a big fan of number 9 Inspiranti. I think she'll measure up.
All right, well, away from the black type, James Jordan has given us two gems this week. That's race 1, number 1, Really Swish, and race 4, number 1, Lady Silhouette. Durban, yes, it's warming up there as well. Three listed races and big fields as usual for Brisbane on a Saturday. First of the listed races is race 6, the Invader at Aquas Mick Dittman Plate, over 10.50 for 3-year-olds.
Add a little something at $26 for number 7, Voulet here. I think that's over the odds. He's a horse that's got to step up to the plate, but I think he can. It was a pretty arrogant win first up. He just travelled wide. Brad Pengelly wasn't really fast. He knew he had them covered, and it was a strong win. He is up in class, as I said, but he's lightly raced with plenty of potential. Clearly, number 2, YPO, is the one to beat. He won the Gold Edition last year, beating Pirata. He's trialled well. He's going to be a shade of odds on it and will be very tough to catch. 4, Marble. Easy winner at Rose Hill last start. That form's easy to like here. And at 9, Bassara is a consistent filly.
Race 7 at Doomben on Saturday is the QRIC Ascot Handicap 1,200 metre listed race.
Yeah, interesting race. 3 and 4 will dominate the market, Mr. Sneaky and Aminart. Mr. Sneaky, I guess you're just going to bank on him getting a bit of luck and how fit he is. His recent trial at Cranbourne was good. His Group 1 form just says he's going to be very, very hard to beat. And then you've got Aminart, who's 8 from 12, beaten once since joining the Ben Curry Yard, and just dominated his rivals in the Wheatwood. So I've gone Mr. Sneaky just from Aminart. 6 High I'm Back was 2nd in the Wheatwood. He'll run well again, and 11 Rhyme Nor Rhythm next best.
Last of the three black type races at Doomben is race 8, the Ray White Ascot Tails Stakes, 1,600 metre listed race.
Three men of his word gets another chance for me. I tipped him in the Wheatwood and he ran home well. I think he's looking for the mile now, and his mile record's really good. And I like that he gets a little bit of weight relief, 55 and a half. His couple of recent mile runs last prep, he had big weights. A three on top for me from 11, Invincible Knight, up from Sydney. Hit the line well after a slow start at Rose Hill, second up. 10, Pelothronius, is racing well and ready to win. And one, Chocante, respecting the Kiwi stayer. He won the Brisbane Cup last prep, but first up, last year, first up last prep, he ran third to Winks, beaten just under five lengths. He's trialled well in New Zealand, so I'm respecting him despite the big weight.
Okay, and your best and value bets at Doomben?
Yeah, my best was Man of His Word, and which is race 8. My value was Snitzel's Joy, race 2, number 17. Pretty sure she'll get around. She's third emergency. I see there'll be a couple of scratchings, and I think she'll run well. She's honest, she's trialled well, and she's drawn nicely.
Over in the west at Ascot, WA Derby Day, as we mentioned. The other black type races, race 6, Sheila Gwynne Classic for fillies and mares over 1400. BJ Ryan is prepared to give Sweet Aura another go. A lot of these went around in a race called the Marjorie Charlson Classic a couple of weeks ago, and Sweet Aura could only manage fifth but led there unsuited. Should be able to stalk a more genuine tempo in this race, according to BJ. That's one Sweet Aura to beat two Royal Missile, 9 Ms. Lecky and 10 Necklet. And in the main race, the WA Derby, the Schweppes WATC Derby, race 8. 2400 metre, 3-year-old, group 2. Set weights, of course, and he does think that the GNA Williams team are going to battle it out with number 2, Action, to beat 4, Sentimental Friend, from 1, Money Mahur, and 9, Media Baron. Does think that the Colts have got it over the fillies this time. Do you like anything over at Ascot, John?
No, not really. Sort of haven't followed the key lead-ups to the Derby. And Money Mahur was a horse I was following through the carnival last year, backed him in the WA Guineas, and he's been able to win his last couple, so I assume he'll be pretty hard to beat again.
BJ's best at Ascot, race 2, number 8, Sariska. His value bet, race 9, number 4, Delicate Miss. In New Zealand earlier in the day, Joel, they are racing at Pukekohe with a couple of Group 2s.
Yeah, this is the first of the Ellerslie meetings transferred. Ellerslie's shut down at the moment. They're doing track renovations, so all their feature jumps races through the winter will be held at other venues. And this feature flat meeting held at Pukekohe a couple of weeks late for the Easter handicap, but that's the main race there on Saturday. It used to be a Group 1. It's now a Group 2, but it's got a pretty decent lineup there on Saturday. I've gone with 13 Romancer and I've made him my best. He's a horse that's always displayed plenty of potential. Speaking to Chris Gibbs a few weeks ago about his filly Dance Dance Dance, and I mentioned Romancer, and he said this was the race they had penciled in for him that kept him fresh over the sprint trips. He's ready for the mile now. He's just got to handle the ground. It's a heavy track there and I don't think it'll get any better. So that's the one query. But Romancer on top. Number 3, Megablast, might be the surprise. First up, he's a talented stayer. We've seen him across here, but he's an absolute mudlark. He could run really well fresh. My best, Gallant, race 1, number 1. Former Lloyd Williams runner, now with Graham and Debbie Rogerson. Didn't do much first up in New Zealand, but that was a dry track, and that's not his go. He's a really good wet tracker, as we saw in the Sydney Cup a couple of years ago. So for betting each way odds, I'm expecting him to improve sharply in race 1. Riccarton is the other meeting down in the south. My best bet is in the last. She's Too Hot to Trot, which is race 9, number 12. Hit the line well last start, suggests that the step up to 2,000 will suit. And my value bet's in the 2-year-old race. Race 2, number 11, Paris Awaits. Has to turn the tables on a couple that beat her home on debut, but I liked that debut. She got back, hit the line strongly. 1,000 metres still probably a shade short, but hoping she can settle a bit closer, and at each way odds might be worth a ticket.
Gallant and the other Rogerson runners, Joel, we've got listed as trained by T. Rogerson. That's the daughter?
It's Team Rogerson now. They're officially known as. Yeah, so the daughter has joined Debbie and Graham.
Right. We might need to get that adjust the editorial system. Yeah, T. Rogerson. Who on earth is that? Okay, well, that wraps up a big Saturday of racing around Australia. Leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. Got all the form for Friday night, that big Saturday right around the country. as well as four more meetings on Sunday. If you're following along, if you're watching along on freetoairracing.com, we've got a full form guide for Port Augusta this time, as well as the Victorian meeting, which was Sportsbet Ballarat. So that will make for a pleasant Sunday afternoon, as well as in the meantime, you can get all your reading done. We've got all your favourite columnists, Stephen Pateman, Matt Stewart, Shane Templeton, Paul Richards, and all your usual reading and other features. Still only $5. Can't believe it. Joel, best $20 bet for the weekend. I'm going for one that I'm fairly confident about, and that's race 4, number 3, Kawaya at Caulfield. Joel?
Yeah, I'll go Caulfield as well. We'll wait till the last. I'll go Land of Plenty, race 9, number 13.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.